street or voices from the internet and whatnot. And hopefully that'll be not next week, but the week after. I don't know why it's taken so long. I think they just run in reruns for a little while, and they're going to mix it all and get it all together. I hope they don't make me sound bad. I think it went off rather well, but I've had experience with this sort of thing before, where you think it goes one way and you listen to it and it turns out they make you sound like it's something completely different. So I really hope that that's not what they do. Anyway, that's about it. I'm glad I wound up doing the show. I really am. Because even though I was, and I'm still depressed, I'm not, you know, get over it that quickly. But I feel obligated and to do it. And there's the music. Okay. Like I said, Fourth Estate Radio is next with John Fox and Bruce Birch. And until next week, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network saying goodbye. Bye.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of Joan. Don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of Matt upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cat.
At the top of the.
This is the Quality News Network. In Miami, five men accused of plotting to bomb the Sears Tower and other federal buildings appeared in court today, where a federal judge set their bail hearing for next week. The FBI says it infiltrated the group after someone the members tried to recruit alerted authorities. The group reportedly said it wanted to create an Islamic army to launch a holy war against America. The Treasury Department has been collecting information on financial transactions since September 11th. That's according to news reports that the government is now criticizing for revealing national security information. Democrats are comparing the program to warrantless spying on emails and phone calls, but the Bush administration says it is vital to track the flow of terrorist money. Al Jazeera Television aired a video today featuring Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. In it, he praised slain leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as a martyr and vowed revenge. It was the first time al-Qaeda leaders have acknowledged Zarqawi's death. In Baghdad, a firefight with insurgents prompted the government to impose a curfew and declare a state of emergency. The U.S. military announced that troops captured a senior member of al-Qaeda today. Meanwhile, five more American soldiers were killed. Also in Baghdad, the Iraqi government is expected to announce a reconciliation package on Sunday. The UK Times Online says that in an effort to avert a civil war, prisoners will be offered amnesty and resistance groups will be included in the political process. The plan has upset many U.S. lawmakers since the plan includes insurgents who have killed U.S. troops. In Afghanistan, coalition forces have killed 17 insurgents in the southern part of the country. Also, officials discovered the decapitated bodies of four Afghan men. In Washington, the Navy has launched a criminal investigation into a civilian web posting. Personal information, including social security numbers, on 30,000 sailors and their family members was discovered today. In the Pacific Ocean off Guam, the U.S. military has finished the largest war games exercise since the Vietnam War. Officials say the U.S. wanted to prove it can defend itself against other countries, including North Korea. The Pentagon also reported that a rocket fired from a U.S. warship successfully shot down a short-range missile fired from Hawaii yesterday. In Washington, Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta has announced he will resign next month. Mineta is the only Democrat in the president's cabinet. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has granted a license for a major commercial nuclear facility for the first time in 30 years. Construction of the $1.5 billion National Enrichment Facility in New Mexico could begin selling enriched uranium by 2009. Also, Hitachi and General Electric have announced a $5.2 billion plan to build two nuclear reactors in Houston. The U.S. Trade Representative says a new federal office will be opened with the sole purpose of policing Chinese trade. The office will work to ensure China lives up to its trade obligations and doesn't breach intellectual property rights. A federal court has ruled that not all U.S. hedge funds have to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The court said a rule with that requirement is arbitrary because it exempts hedge funds with fewer than 15 clients. Tokyo and Washington have agreed to expand their joint ballistic missile defense shield. That means jointly producing missiles and transferring technology. Diplomatic relations with Libya are expected to be resumed next week. The U.S. cut ties with the country since the 1988 Pan Am airline bombing over Lockerbie. The move will open the door for oil negotiations. The United Auto Workers Union says about 40,000 hourly workers will accept buyout and early retirement offers by GM and Delphi. Light sweet crude settled at $70.87. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 30 points, NASDAQ down 1, S&P 500 also down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
By the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Get in on the conversation by calling 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Your voice is useless until you use it. And now, your transglobal hosts, John Fox and Bruce Birch.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard to another edition of Fourth Estate Radio. I am John Fox in Sydney, Australia, and tonight I'm flying solo, folks, so hang on. Bruce Birch is taking the night off to spend some well-deserved time at a family celebration, so he's kind of following along and listening and riding as a passenger this evening. So welcome aboard, everybody. You know, it's going to be just kind of a free-for-all tonight. You can get in on the program by ringing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. The program, as usual, is being brought to you out of our West Virginia studios by the Council of District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream. Pardon me, just a little bit of a brain fart there. Anyway, this has just been a crazy week. This has just been an insane week. All like, I mean, where do we start? You know, a line item veto. I'm going to try to even avoid that subject tonight because I thought we went here many, many years ago, and everyone decided that no one should have that much power. But we live in a time of no accountability, no, I don't know, attention to the rule of law. But, you know, we must soldier on. Anyway, you could also get into the program by sending us an email at John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. Love to get your emails. And thank you, Gene. I've got a bunch of stuff that you sent today, and we got places to go. I was hoping to have an interview tonight, but we won't have it tonight. We may have it next weekend. I'm going to have a young lady by the name of Kate Gibbs on the program who runs a website and an organization called Prisoners Overseas. And I've been wanting to get her on the show for a long time. We kind of have an Australian activist connection over here. So I've invited her on the program. She couldn't quite pull it off for today. Something about the goats on her farm needing feeding or something. But it's going to be fantastic. And also next week we will have a new lecture. I will be going out and capturing that this week. Yes, on Tuesday. We have the next in our Cricketers Lecture Series, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Let's see, where to start? As usual, we're streaming at from the White Rose Society. Ben is running his fundraiser at the moment, so please cruise by, drop him, a tenner, a 20, or a 50, because he is the hardest working man in independent progressive radio, and just do the right thing. We did. But anyway, no peer pressure here. Ha ha ha. Where are we going? And we're chatting at, as usual, headonradionetwork.com chat room. Dive into the pool. You'll see liberal me, our head honcho down there, in there. running things or whatever name he's going by today. But anyway, he'll be in bold print, making himself well-known. Anyway, I'm thinking, where do I want to start? Geez, you know, it's just all too much control for me, and I'm a control freak. So this is why I like having Bruce around, because, you know, he can keep me in a direction. But anyway, I got to choose one. So, you know, Roth's story is usually one of my first stops of the day. And they sent me over to the BBC. And again, the crime family is blowing the whistle on the whistleblowers. Again, the federal government is over exceeding its jurisdiction, or, I don't know, just good karma. I don't even care at this point. And have been going into people's financial records, you know, via an outfit called SWIFT. And so, you know, Cheney automatically comes out and does this, you know, this is all in the fight on terror. Give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, these guys have been not held accountable yet for the illegal wiretaps on American citizens. Just with no oversight, any of this stuff is just rife for abuse. And, you know, Bob Kincaid was having an aneurysm in the last couple of days. That's all I can say. He's having an aneurysm. About the fact that you know, be very afraid. There's no accountability here. And I've got some audio of I'm going to launch a new nickname from the show for one of the true fighters out there for what's right and true by whatever name you decide to give it. So we're coming up on our first break as you got John Fox flying solo from Sydney here on Fourth Estate Radio. Cruise by the chat room at headonradionetwork.com or by fourthestateradio.com. And, you know, email me, John, at fourthestateradio.com. And, you know, ring in 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Get you in on the program. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
On the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head on. Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
He was just one hell of a guitar player. I do believe that was Zappa playing there. Anyway, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio here, everybody. I have a, I don't know, week before last, I said to Bruce, I reckon that Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio were the wonder twins of civil rights, and with them actually taking on the case against the voting machine companies could end up becoming the wonder twins of democracy as well. Well, I reckon Helen Thomas is now, as far as this show is concerned, the rock goddess of the press corps. This woman just is just awesome. Now, you know, Cheney comes out, you know, bitching and moaning that the press has gotten up his rump again, right? Here in via Raw Story at the BBC, the government has covertly tracked thousands of international money transactions and nearly 5 years as part of its so-called war on terror. And I love when the media refers to it as so-called war on terror. Mr. Cheney said leaking the program played into the enemy's hands. The New York Times defended its coverage, saying the information was in the public's interest. Now, I'm glad that the New York Times is standing up for the public interest. I just wish they did it more often. Speaking in Chicago, Mr. Cheney said the disclosures, which went ahead despite appeals from the White House, would make it more difficult for the administration to prevent future attacks. Note the use of the fear tactic. The operation uses a huge financial database in Belgium known as SWIFT to track private money transfers all around the world. But civil liberties groups have raised concerns that the program, which began soon after the 9/11 attacks in the U.S., may infringe individual rights to privacy. Mr. Cheney said, "These are good, solid, sound programs. They are conducted in accordance with the laws of the land." Now, I have a problem when people like this talk about the laws of the land when you have the president's personal attorney as the Attorney General of the United States. Not going to be much oversight going on there now, is there? So, over this, Tony Snow got... let's just say his feathers in a bit of a ruffle over Miss Thomas, and told him to, oh, we're going to hold that clip. We're going to hold that clip because on line one, we have the one, the only union man, Wayne. Hey, Wayne,
hey,
welcome aboard.
John. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I think you were having a big day today, weren't you?
Oh, extremely big day. It's all over, man. You know, everybody's left. The bride and groom just left, and it was a I couldn't be happier. I couldn't.
Right on, man. So your son got married today. That's right. Well, congratulations.
High school sweetheart. I mean, my son's 25. These kids been together since they were sophomores in high school, and it was a wonderful day, man. It was a wonderful day. It's truly wonderful to see two people that are partners and devoted to each other and you know, make that commitment. It was a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing.
Well, that's great, man, and congratulations to your son and his bride. And Bruce here in the production chat says hello and congratulations as well, as he's kind of just kicking back tonight and listening on. But and Bob was telling me that you were let's just say you were a man with a full plate as of the last few days. So it's probably a nice relief for you that it's all come to such a nice end. But what brings you on tonight?
You couldn't
tonight?
Have said it better. You couldn't have said it better. I mean, you know, come home and tell me you got married. It would have been a lot easier.
But hey, kid, I got a word.
We had a wonderful time, man. It was a great thing, you know, great thing.
Right on.
I haven't talked to you for a while, and I just wanted to call up and say hi. You know me, you know, hit a word and I'll go forever. But
I actually have some stuff I will send you. It looks as though the Australian unions are causing a massive strike, are calling a massive strike on Wednesday.
The whole country?
This is the rumblings I'm hearing. I have to still return an email or two and get some more details, but I was sent an alert that because the whole thing with the industrial relations reforms over here, which they're trying to put in Canada, have really done some serious damage, and the unions have done a brilliant ad campaign here over the last couple weeks showing real Australians who, within the days after this legislation coming into effect, being told that they no longer had a job and then being handed an individual contract within a couple of days for 70% of their original salary to do the same job with no overtime loading, no benefits, no paid holidays, no nothing, all that stuff stripped. And it's happening nationwide. And this
economy. So what you're talking about is unions joining together and cooperating with each other. They are no longer separate unions. They are one union.
Yeah. From my contact with the state head of the construction workers union here, when I was doing some coverage on the Opera House worker boys, told me that the Australian unions really, no matter how gutted they were after the war fees, still understand the concept of that global union, that it's world workers, right? And you even see it on their safety vests and stuff.
Well,
the whole idea that the union is about human rights, they haven't lost touch of that, no matter how marginalized they've become. But yet union membership is on the rise at a rate not seen in something like 20 years, because you suddenly have all these people who believed what the government told them with the legislation that they slammed through, and you suddenly have, I mean, real, just average working people suddenly not having enough money to pay their mortgages, and we haven't even had the interest rate hikes hit here yet. So, I mean, this is really hitting real people here. And this is why the Canadian unions protested John Howard when he was over there.
Well, and that's something to really be admired. And it's something that has to happen in the United States. You know, our government here has managed to, and, you know, a lot of it's our fault, too, is to separate working people. You know, if you're a carpenter and the coal miners go on strike, well, who the hell cares? You know, you ain't working in the coal mine, but that's what's wrong with the whole thing. You know, all this is working people. And, you know, union, non-union, whatever, the majority of people in the world are working people, and they have to unite for a common cause, and I'm really glad to see that happen. And, you know, our current administration, and obviously yours too, is in many ways, and it was funny, man, the first time I ever called Bob Kincaid was, I don't know, you'll have to tell me, 5 years ago, maybe. And he said to me, well, this administration, meaning the Bush administration, is about the best friend unions have ever had. And I stopped for a minute, and I'm going, what the hell is this guy talking about? You know, I mean, I thought, you know, then I thought about it for a while, and in many ways he's very right. Well, he is right, in all ways. And, you know, it seems like your government is going in a similar direction. And it's worldwide fascism. The corporation is more important than the individual, and that is basically wrong. And that's what's happening to the world. So workers have to
unite right
everywhere.
And I'm told that you first rang into Bob in 2003.
Bob's listening.
That came from Agnes, who's producing the show. Oh, that came from Bob, actually.
Okay. You should have seen this guy today, man.
What was he up to?
I mean, he took over the food. It wouldn't have been a success without him, I want to tell you. I mean, he was, you know, Bob's a cook, a chef. If he wasn't such a great radio host, man, he'd make a hell of a living as a caterer, I'm going to tell you. He knows how to do it.
Well, he told me a little bit of what he was going to do, and it all sounded just absolutely evil and wonderful. And he said it is.
Yeah, he's absolutely right.
Yeah, and Agnes is saying, we'll work for food is my motto. And I always used to say that if I never made it as an audio engineer, I'd open up a Mexican cantina because it was all just mixing anyway.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, we had, like, you know, pulled pork and chicken and, well, I mean, you know, from, I don't know if I'm getting the name right. I think it's Southern Reds. This is food to die for, brother.
You know, you are correct,
man.
I'm told.
I got some beans and pork and chicken and stuff. I don't think it's a trip.
You're killing me, man. It's like the one thing that I haven't been able to. I can kind of simulate almost everything Mexican, but the one thing I can't find is anything that even resembles Mexican chorizo. I had a caterer get me something close once, but it just.
So what is that? What?
It's. You know, it's a Spanish sausage, one of those things, don't ask what's in it, things, but you actually, it's a soft sausage that you pull out of the skin.
Okay.
And you actually mix it with scrambled eggs. And I'm telling you, it is.
That sounds good.
And it sounds a little bit weird, but it turns the eggs blood red. But you have two of those bloody things in the morning after a rough night of a little too much of the old drinky-drinky.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, nothing is a better head clearer the next day than a couple of chorizo and egg tacos, man.
I believe Mexican people have a lower rate of heart attacks than North Americans.
Yeah, they do. And a lot of people attribute it to the chili content.
Spices, man.
Because the blood stays clean.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, man. You want to? I think we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. You want to hold on?
I'll hold on, man.
Okay. We're gonna take a little break. Wayne's gonna hang on for a minute. We're gonna come back and probably talk some more union stuff, and I don't know, maybe food and catering and weddings. Who knows? Anyway, you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back in just a few.
He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told you that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fats, and flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel. Not only their feed, small towns can be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or spilling or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more eco-wrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio here. John Fox in Sydney. Bruce Birch has the night off. Hope you're enjoying it, Bruce. I bet you're out on the patio with the laptop smoking a cigar. Good on you. Anyway, we got Wayne still on the line. You still with me, Wayne?
I am, buddy.
All right, man. I just went and looked up this alert that was sent to me, and I'm reading this for the first time. Says many people will attend a community rally on Wednesday, June 28th, organized by Unions New South Wales. The ACTU has organized protests in other capital cities. These protests will focus on the federal government attacks on workers' rights and conditions of employment, including attempts to lower the minimum wage. All unions are supporting these protest rallies. You have the right as an individual to lawfully protest. To do this, you will have to access authorized leave, such as annual leave or regular days off, or to attend the Blacktown rally. Hundreds of thousands of people will be joining these protests across Australia. Other rallies have been organized outside Sydney, Newcastle, and Wollongong. The federal Liberal government has prohibited our right to strike and protest under the new anti-worker laws. They have banned the right to even meet to discuss new unfair workplace laws. So that's what's going to be happening in a couple of days here.
That is very exciting. That is very exciting. Before I continue, I think we ought to do a little disclaimer here.
Okay.
The caller may be, by some people's opinion, loaded. But I'm talking about the Mexican people. I just went out in the dark and found the last Corona in a great big bucket of ice. And I didn't mind. So. I mean, just to be perfectly clear, you know. If
hey, man.
Says, boy, that guy sounds like he was loaded. Well, they're probably right, you know. But listen, here's, I mean, that is so inspiring what you just read to me, because that is what has to happen. You know, I've argued with people for years, and, you know, I'm a Democrat, man. I mean, I'm a Democrat because I'm going to be 62 years old in September. I don't have time to start a third party. The Democrats in this country are responsible for every social welfare program we have, barring none. I mean, if it weren't for Democrats, we wouldn't have Social Security, wouldn't have Medicaid, we wouldn't have the 8-hour workday. These people were union people. And that's what has to happen. And what people have to realize, you know, I mean, your government has the balls to call itself the liberal what party?
That's something that no one's ever been able to explain to me, and I sometimes wonder if, being that Australia is such a migrant country, if the Liberals, when forming, decided it would be a really, really funny joke and a way to get easy votes so that migrants who haven't gotten themselves up to speed on the political system them in their first election might go, oh, I'll go for the liberal candidate.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. You know, but these people are part of the problem that's turned liberal into a bad word. You know, I don't care. And I've argued with people, right-wing people, and they can't answer this question. And, you know, like, we have many forms of government. They're, you know, name them. You know, communism, socialism, you know, whatever. In my opinion, what is the greatest responsibility of government? And I don't care what you call that government or what country or hemisphere or what part of the world it's in. And, you know, and I've called up these right-wing people and say, what's the biggest responsibility of government? What do you mean? Well, I said, what do people have? What's government for? What's the responsibility of government? Well, I don't get your point. And the point is, I don't give a damn what you call your government. Is not the biggest responsibility of government the welfare of the people that they govern?
Last time I checked.
Huh? I mean,
last time I checked it was. Yeah.
What else do you got them for? This is
what happens, though, when you have people in power who have openly said that, you know, their predecessors said, you know, I am from the government, you know, fear me, and these kind of things. So, you know, they want to dismantle a system that they don't want. So, of course, they can't handle that question. It just completely derails them.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that the biggest responsibility of government is the welfare of the people that they govern. And, you know, we've talked about this time and again, man. It's if you take care of the working people, if you take care of the working people, the insurmountable problems that the world seems to be facing, a whole bunch of them will solve themselves just by taking care of the working people. And it's time for working people to stand up. What's happening in Australia has to happen all over the world. And it's going to. Because, obviously, you have a very similar government to what we have in the United States. Britain is going the same way. Europe is the best example for labor and people to come together. I mean, I used to be amazed in France when they try to pass legislation against labor, and everybody didn't go to work the next day. And it got solved real quick. And that's, you know, working people have to embolden themselves with that. And that seems to be happening. And unfortunately, we have to have jerk governments like that in order to wake the people up. But it...
One of the things that I find interesting, and just as I was losing hope for the Australians when it came to letting this right-wing, you know, majority kind of take over and really railroad, the other option seems to be somewhat occurring over the last couple of weeks is that John Howard is having a bit of a revolt in what they call his backbench. And since he's part of a coalition government, which is, I wish...
Backbench?
No, they have like front benchers and back benchers. It's kind of confusing. I'm still getting my head around all of it. But the government that's in place is Howard's Liberals and the Nationals together as a coalition. And one of the dodgy bits of legislation that Howard was sending through put like an absolute ridiculous kind of attacks on any green sources of energy in preference to petrol. And
that sound familiar.
Now, what I thought was interesting is that Barnaby, who is a member of the Nationals, and I'm going to try and get him on the air at some point. I don't agree with this guy on a lot of things, but he stood up. Enough of Labor ended up, you know, sticking their tail between their legs to allow this thing to pass. But he stood up and made a beautiful statement about the fact. He says, look, I could go and cross the floor now and it would all be for, nothing but theater. But all I'm going to tell you right now is this is a joke. This is just pandering to the petrol lobby. And this government cannot be serious about getting us out of our energy problem because Howard has suddenly reignited and trying to force feed the idea of nuclear power here, which it was always a non-option. Suddenly this has all popped up. And this guy and a few others on different issues are all kind of standing up and going, whoa, mate. Whoa.
Exactly.
You're just overstretching. And he's had to pull back on some immigration stuff because people were accusing him rightly of bending over backwards for the Indonesians. I don't know if you guys realize, but East Timor is in like chaos again, which ends up affecting us.
Yes.
I don't know if it even makes the news over there, but Australia is basically trying to keep the peace over there at the moment, and they're not getting danger pay, would you believe?
That sounds familiar. It just shows, and when you talk about petrol, that's what's, what the hell is our government in the United States? Petrol. They're all oil people, every one of them, And this is, they're connected with the people in Australia and all over,
And Australia could...
I'm not a proponent of nuclear power, but I think that, the thing that is accomplishing is to make people think about alternatives to petrol.
Unfortunately, what's interesting here is that all the people on this commission to bring up the discussion are all people that come from the pro nuclear lobby, and it's already kind of falling apart at the seams. But Howard's already opened the door. Hey, man, hold on through one more break. I got a couple things I want to talk to you about. We got to take another break. Just hang on for another. And you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio.
If you want me to be here, I'm here.
Yeah, one more segment. I got a couple things to talk to you about.
Okay.
We're still with Wayne. We'll be back shortly on Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll see you in a bit.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to high school.
It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't. Ha, 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if it was fake or real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues, like violence. Please, talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
Planet Jack. He's the granola Ayatollah of canola. Charles Ford, founder of Grassoline Solutions, explains.
I just started writing rhymes while I was farming and doing the eco thing, so that's kind of how this all came about.
Ford spits the truth.
Now, Rudolph Diesel was no weasel, this we know to be true. He was an engineer and a humanitarian, too. He made it possible for us to drive on vegetable fuel. Nobody told you that, well, that's what I'm trying to do. It was back around the turn of last century when Dr. Diesel offered up this opportunity. Corn, soy, chicken, fats, and flour, flax, hemp, seed. Farmers could grow their own fuel, not only their feed. Small towns could be self-sufficient about their energy needs without drilling or sowing or paying a fee. It's like that.
Biodiesel reduces cancer-causing emissions by 75%. For more EcoWrap and all the 411 on biodiesel,
Grassoline.com. Check us out.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, and that one goes out to Bruce Birch, who has the night off playing with the kids. And we still have Wayne on the line. Wayne, you still there, buddy?
I'm sure. Sure am, buddy.
Okay, man. Okay, just a couple of things before I let you go, and you can go and dig and see if there's still another corona hiding in the depths of that.
No, man, I had to, you know, after this one. Or that's what I'm saying right now. I don't know.
Well, fair enough. But I figured I'd make a little bit of a programming announcement about our network here, The Horn, and I figured I'd do it while I had you on the line because you're part of this greater family, which is this network that we are trying to, you know, get out there. But being that we were all listening to Mike Malloy there on Friday, and coming to the conclusion that he was going to be on holiday for a week, and saw the chat room all kind of go into the boo-hoos of, geez, you know, no Malloy for a week. I am going to do a bit of a test run of my future daily show in Mike Malloy's slot this week, running 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And the show is going to be called Foxed Up, so we're going to do a trial run of it this week for full launch in the coming months, which should be a lot of fun, I reckon.
Oh, man, that sounds very exciting. You couldn't have told me anything better. You know, I think there's...
We're going to try and...
Go for it.
What I'm hoping to try and do, because the real goal on that particular program is that it's actually going to probably live eventually in the late night slot after Malloy. But we thought we'd try and go for something slightly different for late night radio instead of having, you know, some guy going, and it's the late shift. We're going to try and bring it up a little bit. Maybe try and, once we get on terrestrial radio, maybe be something that helps keep the good old truck drivers awake while they're doing those late night runs. and see if we can kick up the energy on late night radio and give something for the people on the West Coast actually to listen to once Malloy's finished.
I think that's one hell of an idea, brother. So I'm not required to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning now, am I?
No, mate. But I reckon the archives will be made available.
I remember when I used to go to bed earlier than when you came on, too. But so you guys had a big part in changing that. Listen, I could do whatever. You know, I'm a very dangerous human being, man. Being as old as I am, I could collect Social Security in 2 months plus my pension and, you know, say the wrong word and I'll just quit and stay up and listen to this every night. Till 8 in the morning. I won't ever quit. Hey. I'll just change my lifestyle a little bit.
I know how that goes. I've changed my lifestyle so many times for the job, it's not even funny.
Hey, it's your duty. Got to change with the times, right?
Yeah, and we'll see what happens after.
You guys got a hell of a thing going here, and I think it should be extended. You know, because we do have the East Coast or West Coast of this. Well, think about it. And, well, we need, and you guys are doing it, man. I mean, we need to believe. And the times are ripe. The times are ripe for this kind of talk radio, for this an alternative. It's just like alternative energy. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
This is a form of energy also. And, you know, I think an energy that has the potential to change the world. And that's what we need to do because this is all about working people. And, you know, you could... This is an accumulation of years of frustration. You can only push the working people. You know, how were unions started in the beginning? Because people had enough. The
yep.
people, the working people had enough. And when organized labor became organized, there weren't any unions. There were just working people that finally got pissed off enough to say, enough is enough. And we are entering this area. And I think that head-on communications, you guys can be a very big part of that. And that's why, well, I'm dedicated to this. And, well, I just love it. I think a change is really going to happen. And it has to happen. Because if it doesn't, it will be to our demise. It's just that.
Well, yeah. It'll be forced on us at some point if we don't grab a hold of the reins and change the direction on our own.
Well,
at some point, it's going to be taken from us.
And that's why this is such a good thing. Now, the only bitch you could have about this thing is that it takes too damn long. But once it gets rolling, there's no stopping it. And the working people will take back the world, and that's what we have to do. Nobody's against corporations. Nobody's against people making money. Nobody's against profits. All working people want is their fair share. And like I've said many times, for somebody that's willing to work, the only thing a working person has to sell is hours of their time. And for a working person to demand that they be paid properly for that, that they have health insurance for them and their family, that they be able to retire with dignity is not too damn much to ask. And that's all we're asking for.
Not at all, man. And I think that was, you know, beautifully put because we are, you know, this whole thing is going to come to a head whether we like it or not. And, you know, aside from the fact that, you know, the obvious things that working people want, you know, health care and, you know, be able to take care of their families and all this, I think that we've actually entered a point now where so few people have so much control over the economy that real people with real ideas don't even have a chance to open up new markets. Don't even, you know, so not only is that people have only their ideas their energy to sell, their ideas aren't being developed, and I think that's shortchanging us all the way around.
Shortchanging us. You know, the fact of the matter is, labor and business cannot survive without each other. It's just that simple. And there is common ground. There is common ground that could be reached. Like I said, no one's against corporations making profits. Hell, the people you work for have to be able to make a profit or you wouldn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't treat the people right, then the people ain't going to work for them, then they don't make any money.
And you know, I'm sorry, I've gotten to the point now that when, you know, the big guys use scare tactics that, you know, people will lose jobs, you know, we can't afford to raise the minimum wage, my response is now coming, well, then I'm sorry, you don't deserve to be in business, and someone else will pick up this industry
and be able to do it. That is exactly right, you know. And that's, well, I said it the other night. I mean, it's time. And I don't, you know, you call them Democrats, you call them, you know, I mean, that's my goal. I mean, the Democrats in this country used to be known as the party of the working people. And we have lost that. We have truly lost
that.
You know,
we have
drifted to the so-called middle, and they keep moving to the right, and we keep moving the middle to where they're going, and it's time for that to end. It's time to start punching people in the mouth. Well, it's, man. You know,
I'm right with
episode of something or other that's from, you know, or I guess it's an old movie, you know. I'm pissed off, I'm sick and tired of this, and I ain't going to take it anymore.
You got it. And with that, I got to wrap it up because we're coming up on the top of the hour, Wayne. Thanks so much for ringing, and congratulations to your family on the big day.
Thank you very much, man. I'll be
all right.
You
have
you guys.
All right, man. Have a good night.
To your show.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, bro.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, and that was Wayne helping me fill out the first hour of the program, and we're coming right up on top of the break, so you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
At the top of the.
This is the Quality News Network. In Miami, five men accused of plotting to bomb the Sears Tower and other federal buildings appeared in court today, where a federal judge set their bail hearing for next week. The FBI says it infiltrated the group after someone the members tried to recruit alerted authorities. The group reportedly said it wanted to create an Islamic army to launch a holy war against America. The Treasury Department has been collecting information on financial transactions since September 11th. That's according to news reports that the government is now criticizing for revealing national security information. Democrats are comparing the program to warrantless spying on emails and phone calls, but the Bush administration says it is vital to track the flow of terrorist money. Al Jazeera Television aired a video today featuring Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. In it, he praised slain leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as a martyr and vowed revenge. It was the first time al-Qaeda leaders have acknowledged Zarqawi's death. In Baghdad, a firefight with insurgents prompted the government to impose a curfew and declare a state of emergency. The U.S. military announced that troops captured a senior member of al-Qaeda today. Meanwhile, five more American soldiers were killed. Also in Baghdad, the Iraqi government is expected to announce a reconciliation package on Sunday. The UK Times Online says that in an effort to avert a civil war, prisoners will be offered amnesty and resistance groups will be included in the political process. The plan has upset many U.S. lawmakers since the plan includes insurgents who have killed U.S. troops. In Afghanistan, coalition forces reportedly killed 17 insurgents in the southern part of the country. Also, officials discovered the decapitated bodies of four Afghan men. In Washington, the Navy has launched a criminal investigation into a civilian web posting. Personal information, including social security numbers, on 30,000 sailors and their family members was discovered today. In the Pacific Ocean off Guam, the U.S. military has finished the largest war games exercise since the Vietnam War. Officials say the U.S. wanted to prove it can defend itself against other countries, including North Korea. The Pentagon also reported that a rocket fired from a U.S. warship successfully shot down a short-range missile fired from Hawaii yesterday. In Washington, Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta has announced he will resign next month. Mineta is the only Democrat in the president's cabinet. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has granted a license for a major commercial nuclear facility for the first time in 30 years. Construction of the $1.5 billion National Enrichment Facility in New Mexico could begin selling enriched uranium by 2009. Also, Hitachi and General Electric have announced a $5.2 billion plan to build two nuclear reactors in Houston. The U.S. Trade Representative says a new federal office will be opened with the sole purpose of policing Chinese trade. The office will work to ensure China lives up to its trade obligations and doesn't breach intellectual property rights. A federal court has ruled that not all U.S. hedge funds have to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The court said a rule with that requirement is arbitrary because it exempts hedge funds with fewer than 15 clients. Tokyo and Washington have agreed to expand their joint ballistic missile defense shield. That means jointly producing missiles and transferring technology. Diplomatic relations with Libya are expected to be resumed next week. The U.S. cut ties with the country since the 1988 Pan Am airline bombing over Lockerbie. The move will open the door for oil negotiations. The United Auto Workers Union says about 40,000 hourly workers will accept buyout and early retirement offers by GM and Delphi. Light sweet crude settled at $70.87. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 30 points, NASDAQ down 1, S&P 500 also down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah. The
numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah.
All the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together. And long division just doesn't matter, 'cause we're all in this together.
And now the final hour of Fourth Estate Radio. This is Conversation Radio, so ring Bruce and John on 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Your voice is useless until you use it. Here's John and Bruce.
All right, well, blah, blah, blah. It's not the final hour, but that's okay. That's okay. It was a bit weird, you know. This one goes to 11, and all of a sudden, boom, dink, boom, dink, boom, dink. It's a little anticlimactic. It was a bit surreal. It's supposed to go click, 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 big guitars. But anyway, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, everybody. This is John Fox in Sydney. Bruce Birch has the night off, but something tells me he's going to ring in next hour. I don't know why I say that, but I say that. Anyway, before we go back to the phones, just want to remind everybody that we're chatting at headonradionetwork.com, blogging at headonradionetwork.com, and fourthestateradio.com. And the White Rose Society is running their fundraiser as we speak. So drop by, drop a dime or more, and do the right thing, because because of Ben, that you get to hear all this content here on the Head On Radio Network and other folks like our good friend Mike Malloy. And thanks for all the plugs that you've dropped for us as of late, Mike. We really appreciate it. And without further ado, let's go to Luke from Knoxville, Tennessee on the phone. And Luke, I hear you went to the movies.
Hi, John.
Hey, mate, how are you?
I'm fine. No, Bob told you I went to see the movie today.
Yeah. You went to see An Inconvenient Truth. Please tell us, tell us, tell us.
Well, I'm not going to give too much of it away, but let's just say he explains it so simply that it's easy for anybody to understand. So if anybody thinks, you know, that this is the Al Gore, the wonk, it is, but he explains it so simply that you could take a six-year-old to it, and a six-year-old will get this. But you know what I mean? He doesn't talk down to you, but he explains it basically. You know what I mean? He doesn't get into too technical. You know what I mean? It's not like he's teaching for a class of college kids.
Right, but I've heard that he does let the science, the real science, do the talking.
I mean, he explains some of it, but he explains it real. You know, makes it real easy to understand. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not talking
right
over anybody's head. Not for, you know, for the most part.
So, you know, if, as most of us do that, you know, are that we know, don't listen to the noise generated, do you feel that if there weren't the politics about Al Gore involved, that this film would be suitable for view as like a scholastic film in a classroom?
Yeah, it probably would be. The thing of it is, because they had to make it, you know what I mean, to be usable in the theater, like I say, about, I'll say two-thirds of it is mostly global warming, and remember, three-quarters, and probably a quarter of it is sort of a little bit biopic on Gore, because it explains how he got to where he did. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Talks about some of his, one of his teachers at college that got him, really got him started on it. And they talked a little bit about when his son was injured and how that made him reassess what was important in his life, you know, and then talks about when his sister passed away, you know, and how that was kind of a shock, you know what I mean, a slap in the face, you know what I mean, something that really
right,
caught his attention.
He basically goes back and gives you enough of the background information to show you what was the catalyst that got him to the point of this.
Yeah.
What started as a PowerPoint presentation that he was carrying around, from what I understand, and then it developed into the film.
Yeah, he said he's done this thing probably more than 1,000 times. And, you know, and it's like I say, he's done this. I remember when he did this a few years ago, you know what I mean? And he's done it at college campuses all over the country. And like I say, just the right person finally saw it and said, hey, we can make a movie of this. And they did, and it works. So.
Well, yeah, this is what I've heard, and it's not in major release in Australia yet. It's going to be coming in a few months when Al goes and does the international release tour.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, when it first started, it was only, like the first week, it was only in two cities. And then it went, I think a couple of weeks ago, it was just like up to the 77 cities. And I think couple of weeks or so, it's gone up, you know, well past 100, but you know what I mean? It's just bit by bit because it's playing mostly in the art house type movie theater you have in town where they stick all the Lionsgate films and all those kinds, you know what I mean? That don't get a wide release. I guess these are the ones that where you always see the limited release movies.
Yeah, it'd be where we go see, like, you know, Jim Jarmusch films and things like that. It'd be the same kind of place.
Yeah.
I find it interesting where this whole path that has led to this film puts Al in today's politics.
And some of the things that's turning out interesting is now all of a sudden, just this past week or so, you may have seen this thing from the National Academy of Sciences. You know, where they came out and pretty much backed up most of what Al's been saying.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like somebody said, I don't think it was him, but I think it was one of them said, you know, it's like 98% or 99% of the scientists agree on it. Said, you can find one or two scientists who disagree on it, but, like, you can still find one or two scientists who still disagree that the Earth is round. You know?
Right. Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. And this is the whole thing about, you know, science as well is you go, you know, you have to look at majority opinion. And, you know, those that 1% whatever that may object, they are your check and balance to make sure that your theory, which is accepted on popular opinion, is solid.
Well, you know, it's like for years, he was talking about one point, and I'll tell you this, he was talking about the fact that, you know, said for years you had scientists saying, we're telling everybody that, oh, no, tobacco isn't addictive. Tobacco isn't harmful. Said, but amazingly enough, these were the scientists being paid by the tobacco industry. He said,
yeah,
most of them now have moved over. Now, by golly, they're working for people like Exxon saying, you know, there's no global warming, you know.
Money,
they'll say anything.
and again, you know, you have to be open and follow where the money comes for that. You know, on the individual studies, just like you're saying there, you know, you have to look at where the money for the study is coming from. And, you know, sometime during Clinton, that the whole idea of actually letting the industries themselves fund some studies and the idea of saving the public taxpayer money, that less of this science that gets the airtime is actually coming from independent universities.
Yeah.
And whatnot, they're coming from these scientific think tanks that are working on a predisposed final outcome as opposed to following where the science goes. And this is where, you know, there's good science and bad science.
And a lot of them, you got to pay attention. I remember years ago, it was something that they thought, I can't remember what subject it was, and I apologize for this, but they were talking about it, and they found out, they went back to a website and found it was being paid for by a fellow named Marion Robertson. And all of a sudden, somebody remembered, guess what? That's Pat Robertson's legal name. You know, so you know what I mean? So they can run it through, you know, different names and dummy corporations. So, you know, some of this stuff, you know, you never know. Some of this stuff might be being paid for by Mellon Scaife. Somebody might be paying for by Murdoch. Who knows? You know what I mean? They've got enough dodges that you'd have to get through 10 layers of fakery before you find out who actually's paying the bills.
Absolutely, and this is why I think, you know, you have to go to the people who have stayed in the academic aspect of all these fields as your control.
Oh.
I think we're forced more and more into that. But Luke, I got to wrap it up, and I really appreciate you calling and telling us about the film. And we'll probably talk to you again next week, mate.
All right, then. See you.
All right, man. Have a great night. Thank you so much. All right, and we're just right up on top of the quarter of the hour break. You are listening to Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox from Sydney, flying solo tonight, and we will be right back on the Head On Radio Network.
LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and after the revolution.
And welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, everybody. John Fox here in Sydney, Australia. Bruce Birch having the night off, but we're going to hear from him a little bit later. And I can't wait to see that film myself, but I have to wait a couple of months because, well, it's, you know, one of those America releases and then everybody else gets to see it later. but hey, anybody want to get a copy of it on DVD and ship it to me? That'd be great. I can play both. Ha ha ha. Anyway. Welcome back, everybody. You can get in on the program by ringing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can email me at, John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com, and we're chatting at headonradionetwork.com. And why wait any longer? Jim is on the line. Jim, how you doing? Welcome to Fourth Estate Radio.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, good, man. How are you?
All right. I'm just glad to see that Vice President Gore is a prophet who is being honored at his own time.
Say that again.
I said I'm very glad to see that the former Vice President, Al Gore, is a prophet who is being honored in his own time.
Yeah, I think the man's going to finally get his due, really, you know. I think he was a very misjudged character in Clinton's shadow. And, you know, I always knew he did have a passion for the environment, but it seems as though after his right royal screwing, he ended up diving full into it.
You know, in my living room, I had three photographs, not photographs, but two are portraits. One is of FDR, the other is of JFK, and the other one is a signed photograph of Al Gore thanking him for helping him in the 2000 election.
Oh, right on.
And I had written him a letter back in those days, and I can't remember the letter. I wish I had it in front of me. It's filed away, God only knows where, and I lost it when I lost my first computer, but I basically told him, I said, you know, politics is the eternal sea, and if waves get, you know, will add to one shore and take to another. But I told him in that letter that the waves of this sea would bear him and his family and his memory to a much safer and more memorable shore one day.
Right.
And I'm
right. Well,
that's happening.
Yeah, so am I, and when I, a couple of weeks ago, I went and met with the folks from Democrats Abroad, and they are working very hard to get him to come to a meeting for us and speak, and so between that and one other contact, I am going to claw my way into getting some time with him and speak to him on this subject, because I'm wondering, actually, if, given everything that's happened since 2000, if very possibly this is the high ground road in which he can lead this discussion on taking real action on the fact that we're burning this little marble up at an alarming rate.
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, all the programs that I see relating to the environment and, you know, what's happening to the world and how the warming is, I think we're at the highest temperature in, what, 400 years or something like that? I don't know exactly what it is.
Every statistic is just frightening, and one of the things that in the last, I don't know, it was about 6 months ago or so, they were trying to figure out why some of the glaciers were moving as fast as they were, because it was going way outside their original math, and what they finally figured out was that the land, under the actual earth underneath the glaciers was warming up faster than the air temperature, so you actually were getting a layer of water, which was lubricating the glaciers.
I mean, recently, one glacier the size of Rhode Island, and then another, I think they said, if I'm not mistaken, almost the size of the entire country of France, was shifting or moving, and, you know, and then you have these people. Who is that? The idiot Rush Limbaugh who pulled that trick with a glass of water and an ice cube or something like that?
I think I heard something about that, but I
thought to myself, you know, you've had too much Oxycontin today, friend. You don't even understand the basic physics of a glass of water and you know, pneumatic or hydraulic displacement.
These people have no clue because they choose to deny the reality. And it's an amazing thing. You know, you can use the same math when it comes to the way we treat the workforce and labor, is that we are burning up and stealing the energy at a rate way faster than it can be replenished. It's the same thing with wealth. And too few people are burning way, way too much to maintain their lifestyle at the cost of others.
Yeah.
And we passed the turning point. And what I hate is when some of the press that I've heard on Al Gore's film has been, you know, it's scaremongering. And it's like, well, you know what? You people have denied the reality of this bloody subject for so long that, you know what? It's just scary now. Get over it. Stop using the scare tactic of that we're being too scary. The reality is frightening, and we have to take action 20 years ago. This is how bad it is, whether you like it or not. And I'm hoping that Al Gore maybe has given us all the weapon in which to get that message across.
Me too. I hope it doesn't take the waves of the Atlantic washing down the shores of up to the steps of the Wall Street Stock Exchange to make them realize that, you know, this man knew what he was talking about. That's what's so frightening to me.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, Bob made a joke the other day about telling his kids, you know, never sell this land because your grandkids will have beachfront property. That's not an insane statement.
No, it's not.
That is, I mean, we, you know, there is that whole, basically, the largest river current that keeps, you know, the area around, you know, the UK from freezing in the winter. And it is cooling down at an alarming rate, and if that shuts down, which it's looking like it could sooner than later, the entire northern block there could suddenly become encased in ice.
Well, because, you know, the salinity of the water is being diminished, and that saline content is extremely important, and if you dilute it, it loses its ability to carry, you know, the heat that is conducted in the Gulf Stream that bathes the shores of that separate isle known as Great Britain. I mean, you know, that's basically it, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, you've basically gotten it in a nutshell there, because there is this basically massive underwater river that runs from, you know, the almost the Antarctic all the way up to the northern waters near Great Britain. So, I mean, and yeah, and it goes around the entire planet, and it's and it carries more volume of water than any of the above ground rivers on the planet all combined.
Oh.
So, sorry, did I lose you there for a second, Jim?
I'm
actually right on.
Hey,
can you
high five? You're on the
okay, right on. We have to take the bottom of the hour break. You want to hold on through the break?
Yeah, sure. Where's Bruce?
Bruce is taking the night off. He has a family celebration to attend tonight, so he's taking the night off to do some stuff with family. So hang on through the break, mate, and I'll bring you back right after we get back.
Bruce, I say Prost.
I know he's enjoying some sort of cigar out on the patio. But anyway, we're going to hold on with Jim and take a quick break. You're listening to John Fox flying solo. Bruce having the night off, and you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Every day, the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 7 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 7 years of not having my best friend to play with.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Chris, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Who says you can't dance to rock and roll? Ah, go the Chili Peppers. Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, everybody. This is John Fox here in Sydney, Australia. Bruce Birch will be ringing in to check in and keep me in line a little bit later. But still on the line, we have Jim hanging with us. Jim, you still there, mate?
I'm still here. 5 by 5, I hear you.
And we were discussing before we headed out for a minute. Just the fact that Al Gore's may be not just remaking his image, but may end up, I don't know, becoming more of a force or having being given the credibility that he deserves in a form that we didn't all expect.
Well, a force for good. That's for certain. And, you know, I hope that force for good, and I hope that a modicum of sanity among people who are realizing what that man is saying could possibly lead to his being perhaps in 2008 drafted by acclamation as a candidate in 2008. I would like to see that, even though he says he has no political aspirations or ambitions. One can never tell. You know, the mills of the gods grind slowly but exceedingly fine. And I think that the current regime is literally being ground between its own millstones. And this is something that I have hoped for, hopefully predicted, and hopefully will come to pass, that's for certain. Because, you know, their misdeeds will endure only but for a season. That's for sure.
Absolutely, mate. And see, you know, I think you have to look at the entire Al Gore kind of timeline, because I've said time and time again that I still believe that if you actually look at the philosophy behind the man, Bill Clinton was the best Republican president in the 20th century, if not all of American history. His policy was very middle ground, but non-harmful, because I think both sides have an argument to be made. But Al Gore was slightly a different character, and while he was vice president, he played good ball. You know, they were moving forward. They were having, aside from, you know, distractions like Lewinsky, they were having a successful administration. But when it came time that he was going to step out on his own, Al was really threatening quietly to move much more to looking after the people, especially going after big business. I mean, he had his sights set there. And I think that this absolutely was the reason that they had to derail him in 2000.
You know, they certainly did. And that, in my opinion, will go down in American history, in world history, is one of the most shameful things that's happened in an awfully long time. I mean, when it took the Supreme Court to do what it did, and we know who was behind that. It literally broke my heart.
You know what I've been I have to get the book, Greg Palast's new one. But what I've been coming to understand is everyone tried to figure out where in, you know, in God's green earth did Harriet Myers come from, but she very well was the person, I believe, involved in keeping Bush out of harm's way during Vietnam.
That's right.
So, I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, everything. None of this has happened by accident. This is why, you know, even before Gore got this film out, the right was trying to slam him, because I think they really fear him, and he might even be more dangerous as a private citizen than he was as a politician. And that may not have been the case if it hadn't been for the fact that he got ripped off once, and a whole bunch of people understand that.
Well, I hope that the exigencies of the current world situation and the situation in this country might bring people to the realization of exactly what has been going on and what has happened. I mean, not to wax too eloquent or too stupidly on what the current Bush administration has done, I can't see a whole lot of stuff that they've done right. I can't see much of anything they've done right.
Well, it's been out of self-interest. It hasn't been out of, you know, desire to actually help the people. It's only been to help and forward their own interests.
I know, and I hate to see so many people being victimized by this. And I'm talking about the people in Iraq, our own troops there, and some of the things that are happening here. I mean, basically, what Bush and his comrades are trying to do, they're trying to destroy some of the very basic institutions in this country. And we're talking about the law, people's faith in the military, people's faith in themselves. There's just an entire shredding of any sense of well-being that people have. And, you know, and it's been done so shabbily. I mean, just tawdrily. I mean, I don't know.
It's
worse than any grade B movie that you could see in any porno house in the world, to be honest with you. It's that offensive.
Well, you know, I mean, this has been a massive crime against the people, and it's, you know, as Wayne and I were discussing earlier, it's not just the United States, and all this stuff is tied together. You know, all this stuff has roots in money. You know, Bruce says it all the time, you know, follow the money and you'll find the truth.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I, you know, there's just no denying any of it, and the fact that they have, you know, domestically created all these boogie people, you know, the whole, you know, gay marriage thing and the immigration thing and the whole thing about
Ed Herring.
Don't watch what we're doing, but be afraid of that, you know. And this is where, you know, the whole thing, I haven't even gotten to the audio yet, you know, with Cheney going, wah, someone's actually said what the hell we're doing. And it's just like, well, you know what, Buggy, you dead bastard. You know, I'm sorry. You have not been accountable, so you're forcing these people to have to go to the press. And Robert Fisk was corrected by an Al Jazeera reporter who said that the foreign correspondent's job is to be the check on power. Because he was saying it was to be the observer of history, and she said, no, we need to be the check and balance on power.
Quite true. And, you know, really, My best wishes to the Vice President and his film and the impact that it will have upon thinking people, and perhaps those people who aren't thinking too clearly will begin to think a little more clearly, and from the spark shall come the flame. Who knows? I don't know. I hope so.
Oh, man, you know, and
I can, hope in my heart is all we have is hope, you know? You hope?
The longer we keep going down this road, the worse the pending fire is, because it's just smoldering.
I'm just tired of hoping for the best and expecting the worst. I'm just tired of that shit.
Ooh, watch it.
Talk about it. I am tired of hoping for the best and expecting the worst.
Yeah. I'm totally with you, Jim. I'm totally with you. And we're going to go out on our quarter hour break very, very soon. So I really, really appreciate the call. And I'm going to try and move on to some audio that I have yet to get to.
Well, listen, my best to your co-pilot and tell him I enjoy his show very much and wish him the best of success with it. And we'll talk to you later.
All right, mate. Thank you very much and enjoy the evening.
And the same to you, sir.
All right. And that was our buddy Jim ringing in as usual. And, you know, I think he's got a point. You know, I really think that Al Gore, you know, could end up doing a lot more now than run. But I still hold the hope that maybe he would still throw his hat into the ring if perhaps Hillary looks like she's going to be the guaranteed candidate. Because I think he understands how divisive she is, because she has refused to take a stance on getting out of Iraq and that it was a mistake. And last I checked, she was still actually getting money from people like Walmart. And we know the history of these companies. And this is where I think we need to weed out the real Democrats from the fake ones. I think we have a whole lot of, they call themselves centrist Democrats. I call them Republicans in Democrats' clothing. And, you know, I actually got into a bit of an unfortunate exchange with a family member, and I was spat at about my politics. And I said, I'll tell you something about my politics. I actually think the whole system's been hijacked by too much money. And it doesn't work for the people anymore. And without the people, we got nothing, folks. We got nothing. We got nothing. We got to start getting our head around that. We really need to start getting our head around that. Because these guys are continuing to evade real detection and real accountability. You know, I can't even stress it enough. So before we go out to the break, we are chatting as usual at headonradionetwork.com. We're streaming from the White Rose Society. The fundraiser is going on at whiterosesociety.org. Don't forget to cruise by there, drop a dime, a little more. I'm going to give a little bit of a teaser on my new show, maybe after we get back. And I got some Helen Thomas audio. We got sidetracked right from the go because the phone's been hot, running hot. You're listening to Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox. We'll be right back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
It's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I wanted to, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I've had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Anyway, welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, everybody. John Fox here in Sydney. Bruce Birch will be joining us probably somewhere around the top of the next hour. What a night so far. What a night, what a night, what a night. Oh, no. Oh, no. Here we go. On line one, the one, the only, Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. How you going, buddy?
John, how good to talk to you in Australia today, tonight, whatever.
It's been a while, buddy.
Yes, congratulations on the new show starting this coming week.
Well, yeah, we're going to see how we go, do a little bit of a test run, you know, and fill in while our buddy Mike Malloy takes a well-earned break from Air America, and we'll see how we go. It could be interesting. I'm going to try and make it a bit of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be nice with Mike. On vacation, that will certainly give everybody something to tune into. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. You know, I'm upset about something that a lot of people are just going to shake their head as being trivial, but to me, it's kind of a big deal. This article was forwarded to me by Frozen Soul in the chat room earlier, and it's about in Beijing in China. They're banning disco music. I'm floored. I mean, you know, I spent a lot of years DJing at dance clubs, and you know, I got to tell you, they're banning disco and other another dance music in private rooms and nightclubs and karaoke bars, and they're claiming it's to curb illegal drugs because they're saying that drug takers regularly dance and go crazy to upbeat disco music. And the police,
please.
I'm serious, and the police are going around to these to the clubs and expecting and telling them they have to delete disco and other forms of quote vulgar entertainment from karaoke machines. I'm just amazed. You know, it's just like the Christians do the same thing here. They don't have the power really to go into bars and tell them they can't play dance music, but they're sure as hell burning albums and going.
You know, it's a joke. It's a joke, Peter. And I mean, I was a big metalhead when I was in high school, and I know I used to say death to disco at times, but I really, really didn't mean for them to outlaw it.
You know, the disco thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just think it makes me laugh because all I can remember is being a teenager and you know, all the fuss about Ozzy Osbourne and biting the head off of a bat.
Yeah,
and there was the whole story about the kid who, you know, committed. They made such a big deal about this kid that committed suicide and you know had written down the lyrics to Suicide Solution, right? But
right.
And they made all this noise, and poor old Ozzy, who I'm sorry, I still think, you know, even though he's become a bit of a joke on that bloody show, you know, he was just a guy whose mates really loved Aleister Crowley and formed a band.
Yeah.
Right? And if you actually read his lyrics, he wrote some beautiful stuff.
Well,
and some very thoughtful stuff. And the Christian right went off on him for years. So it's just stupidity happening by the same influences over in China.
Well, it's exactly true. And the thing about disco, you know, disco was forced to go underground by John Travolta, actually. The whole Saturday Night Fever thing is, and you see, disco, you just had to, like, go underground and change its name. It's just called high-energy dance now. It's called house music. It's called club remixes. It's just not referred to as disco. But, honey, it's like hairspray. If they call it balls, it's still hairspray. You know?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, if it's got doof, 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 and it gets people out there just shaking their booty, it's disco.
Freaking disco. You know? But the whole thing really just kills me. So they're going to, you know, it relates to this whole thing. In China, it's not religion that wants it clamped down. It's just the ultimate power of the government that wants it clamped down because it's a form of a joy. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe some of the people are on drugs, but, you know, they're complaining that they're dancing and going crazy to upbeat disco music. Upbeat. You know, that means, you know, people are getting happy and dancing. You know, and the religion wants to do the same thing. It's control. You know, don't you dare have a good time. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, Peter, you're making me go and, you know, drag the soapbox out from underneath the desk because... Just, you know, there was always the superficial thing about the drugs and the this and the that and the that. But I really think we've gotten to the point where the music industry in general, and I mean, I can go off for yonks on this, and you know that, has gotten to the point where it's like you cannot stimulate anyone except for some sort of corporate interest or some sort of tie-in that's been dealt out through some very well, you know, research-tested board of bunch of wankers.
Oh, geez, John, yes, and so, the radio station's playlists, which are entirely corrupt.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, you know, I've hardly worked in my own industry for, you know, like 2 years, and a lot of that has to do with choice. But, you know, also the kind of people that I worked for actually played, right?
Yeah.
And there's those people aren't working. And, you know, I used to kill me. You know, this one guy that I worked for, you know, son of a national rock and roll hero, two top 10 singles, album never released. It's now 5 years since it was completed. And they've got him off doing some garbagey disco stuff. But we took him out with what was a studio band from God, right?
Oh, yeah, cool.
I mean, you know, I mean, it was a man and his band, and it was basically, I don't know if you're familiar with Human Nature from Australia, but we basically had the rhythm section from Human Nature playing like production rock.
So you're saying this is Die For?
It was just, you know, it was big production. It wasn't even political, nothing like that. It was just really good, well-written songs with a killer band.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these guys never ceased to not make me sweat just because of what came across, you know. And I chased these guys around this country for 2 years.
Cool.
And nothing ever happened. And all I see come out is just less and less real stuff. And I think that this all comes down to some of the same issues that we just... Are they so afraid to stimulate anyone in any way? And I'm being told I'm coming up on a break. Can you hold on?
Sure. I'll be glad to. Thank you.
All right. We got Peter on the line. We're going to come back just after break. Yum. I have a drink coming my way. And you're listening to Fourth Estate Radio here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
At the top of the.
This is the Quality News Network. In Miami, five men accused of plotting to bomb the Sears Tower and other federal buildings appeared in court today, where a federal judge set their bail hearing for next week. The FBI says it infiltrated the group after someone the members tried to recruit alerted authorities. The group reportedly said it wanted to create an Islamic army to launch a holy war against America. The Treasury Department has been collecting information on financial transactions since September 11th. That's according to news reports that the government is now criticizing for revealing national security information. Democrats are comparing the program to warrantless spying on emails and phone calls, but the Bush administration says it is vital to track the flow of terrorist money. Al Jazeera Television aired a video today featuring al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. In it, he praised slain leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as a martyr and vowed revenge. It was the first time al-Qaeda leaders have acknowledged Zarqawi's death. In Baghdad, a firefight with insurgents prompted the government to impose a curfew and declare a state of emergency. The U.S. military announced that troops captured a senior member of al-Qaeda today. Meanwhile, five more American soldiers were killed. Also in Baghdad, the Iraqi government is expected to announce a reconciliation package on Sunday. The UK Times Online says that in an effort to avert a civil war, prisoners will be offered amnesty and resistance groups will be included in the political process. The plan has upset many U.S. lawmakers since the plan includes insurgents who have killed U.S. troops. In Afghanistan, coalition forces reportedly killed 17 insurgents in the southern part of the country. Also, officials discovered the decapitated bodies of four Afghan men. In Washington, the Navy has launched a criminal investigation into a civilian web posting. Personal information, including social security numbers, on 30,000 sailors and their family members was discovered today. In the Pacific Ocean off Guam, the U.S. military has finished the largest war games exercise since the Vietnam War. Officials say the U.S. wanted to prove it can defend itself against other countries, including North Korea. The Pentagon also reported that a rocket fired from a U.S. warship successfully shot down a short-range missile fired from Hawaii yesterday. In Washington, Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta has announced he will resign next month. Mineta is the only Democrat in the president's cabinet. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has granted a license for a major commercial nuclear facility for the first time in 30 years. Construction of the $1.5 billion National Enrichment Facility in New Mexico could begin selling enriched uranium by 2009. Also, Hitachi and General Electric have announced a $5.2 billion plan to build two nuclear reactors in Houston. The U.S. Trade Representative says a new federal office will be opened with the sole purpose of policing Chinese trade. The office will work to ensure China lives up to its trade obligations and doesn't breach intellectual property rights. A federal court has ruled that not all U.S. hedge funds have to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The court said a rule with that requirement is arbitrary because it exempts hedge funds with fewer than 15 clients. Tokyo and Washington have agreed to expand their joint ballistic missile defense shield. That means jointly producing missiles and transferring technology. Diplomatic relations with Libya are expected to be resumed next week. The U.S. cut ties with the country since the 1988 Pan Am airline bombing over Lockerbie. The move will open the door for oil negotiations. The United Auto Workers Union says about 40,000 hourly workers will accept buyout and early retirement offers by GM and Delphi. Light sweet crude settled at $70.87. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 30 points, NASDAQ down 1, S&P 500 also down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together. And long division just doesn't matter, 'cause we're all in this together.
And now the final hour of Fourth Estate Radio. This is Conversation Radio, so ring Bruce and John on 18774 Head On. That's 18774432366. Your voice is useless until you use it. Here's John and Bruce.
All right, everybody, on Fox here in Sydney, Australia. Bruce Birch with the night off, and I think he's going to be calling in shortly. And I held our good friend Peter from Tallahassee on hold because I have a little bit of a story to talk to you about. I think you were the perfect person to ring up.
Okay, well, I'm certainly online. I'm here. I'm okay. Talking to Australia, dude. Let's go.
Okay, well, you and I were talking about this earlier via raw story on, was it the Washington Post? Yeah, WashingtonPost.com. There's a story about the fact that you have basically Muslim gays seeking lesbians for wives to get around the marriage issues in their own society.
Yeah, and John, it's a worldwide thing at this point. It's global, and it's happening an awful lot in America. In fact, I've seen that article, and I think the article even says especially in America. There are whole networks forming for gay men and lesbian women to marry each other because of the pressures. It is so common, in fact. It's even been shortened. They have initials for it, MOC. It means marriages of convenience. And of course, that's where a gay man and a lesbian woman marry simply to get rid of the societal preferences. And, you know, you can understand that, you know, the pressures are immense. You know, in Iran, not so long ago, there was two teenagers were publicly executed for being gay. And it's a result of gay Muslims, trying to avoid being physically harmed. Homosexuality is a crime punishable by death in much of it, is the Islamic world, and these people are doing this. Many of them are stockbrokers and doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs, and they're being forced to do this. Statements from the leadership, the Islamic leadership, is that homosexuality is a moral disorder, and it's a disease, and no one's born homosexual. It's like being a thief or a liar or a murderer. It's the same damn thing the same drum the Christians beat.
And they probably would like to put forth that idea that gays, that homosexuality should be punished by death as well. You know, I don't put that past any of these people. And in the article here, they quote a gentleman by the name of Jack Furtick, who, funnily enough, I actually, by kind of luck of association, know. And I'm going to try and contact him on this. He's a co-coordinator for Al-Fatah, a national advocacy group for gay Muslims, says he comes across at least one such email request every month. It's obvious that it's becoming a viable option, he said. People are seeking, looking, and trying to make connections that could develop into such marriages. And see, I worry about any time that any group of people is forced to go underground for any reason.
Well, you know, John, that's why you find so many Southern Baptists hooked up in motel rooms with male escorts and cruising public areas. You know, a lot of that is heterosexual married men. You know, if I had a dollar for every heterosexual man that's been a little bit too friendly in a bar, I'd be a wealthy man. I just wasn't into heterosexual married men, or quote heterosexual married men. That it just seemed dishonest in every way. I that's not a direction I went in. But let me tell you, they're out there. You know, John, words have power. They have a lot of power.
Oh, yeah.
They do have power. You know, in the Bible, the very beginning in Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. I don't think that's a lesson in the creation of the world. I think that's a lesson in the power of words. Words have the power to create worlds. They have the power to create countries. They have the power to create neighbors and friends. And words also have the power to destroy. And that is exactly what they're doing. They're using words, and words. You know, these words are lies, of course. This is not the way it is, but it's the way they would have you believe it. But you know, John,
well,
I'm 53 now, and you know, my partner of many years died a number of years ago, and I'm not looking to begin again. I'm perfectly happy with Head on Radio and my doggie, but the thing about it is I got to tell you, it would have dramatically changed my life if I had been able to marry. If it was something that there's a phrase. It's not so much being homosexual; it's being homo emotional. When you think about it, sex is really only a very small aspect of what people do. I mean, you don't spend that much of your life actually having sex. I think a lot of people would actually, you know, like to have more. But the vast majority of what we do together as people, heterosexuals or homosexuals, is emotional. And when these emotional ties are destroyed and stifled and you can't share them with your friends and family, it damages a person. And I've been damaged by it. I freely admit that. And, you know, I'm one of the walking wounded. And, you know, I grew up in the South. I grew up with the same prejudices that everybody else did against homosexuals. I heard it from the time I was a little boy. You know, these people want to start up these insane arguments about them queers. You know, honey, bring it on. I've heard your story. I know it better than you do. I know all of the words, and I know all the innuendo, and I know all of the logic. Don't even try. I'm a master of the subject. I've heard it all. So, you know, not only do you have to recover from your damn childhood, you have to continue to cope with it as an adult. You know, it's just freaking evil, John, what these people...
Well, Peter, you say about the power of words, and, you know, I remember when you and I first, you know, met in the genesis of this whole little project that we're all involved in, I told you the story about a really, really good musician friend of mine who we shared a common friend, and, you know, it wasn't long before I came to the realization that this gentleman was gay, but we could never tell this common friend because he was so homophobic, and I think it was not out of any, you know, thing that happened to him, but just due to the words that people use.
Words.
That we could never, he could never be truly honest with himself just with a purely platonic friend.
I understand.
And it was, and I always found it to be just an absolutely horrible thing that I always had to put this kind of like wall of you know, almost deceit up, which felt to me from the outside,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it was just one, and you know, I even told you, you know, I was out on my birthday, and this friend of ours was the designated driver for that night, and you know, went out and hung out with my friends, and you know, we were riding back, and he started to say he had something to tell me, and I just turned right to him and said, "What, you're gay?" And he's he almost wrecked the car on the Jersey Turnpike, man. It was hysterical, and I said, "Note, I'm not crawling out of the moving vehicle."
Yeah, but and, you know, John, that was the wonderful thing to do. I mean, you know, bless you for just cutting to the chase, because that is what, you know, we are conditioned to never be able to say. I mean, you're conditioned to never want to never be that and to abhor that. We're just to the same degree conditioned to not say it. It's awful.
Yeah. I just think it's a waste. It's such a waste of energy.
Well, it is a waste of energy. It's a waste.
In two different directions, you know, the facade is a waste of energy, and it's a waste of all the good energy that should be just allowed to be, you know, put out there, because, you know, you and I have had the quantum discussions more than once, and, you know, I really think that, you know, I don't know, you gotta feed it if you want it to come back at you, and it's just insane. So, I tell you what, man, if you hang on for one more second, we got Bruce hanging on the line, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the both of you. How's that?
Okay, cool, that Bruce kid's coming. All right.
Yeah. All right, folks. Peter's going to hang on. We're going to take a break. Bruce Birch has rung in. You're listening to Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
you knew it all. Well, you've seen it 10 times before. I thought that you had it down, with both your feet on the ground. I love
Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Radio coming in with a bit of Tool, Vicarious, and still hanging on the line is our mate Peter from Tallahassee, Florida. and Bruce Birch is rung to check in and give us a party update. How you going, boys?
Hello, hello.
Bruce, you there?
Josh,
how you going, man?
Great job, man. You're doing a fantastic job holding down the fort there at the studios. I got to tell you, man, I'm really impressed. You've done a fantastic. I'm really looking forward to your next to your shows this week.
Thanks, man. Thanks. You know, we missed you tonight, but we've had some really, really great callers, and you know, just kind of had this story too, which the timing was just kind of great for Peter's call because I wanted to talk about this, you know, strange underground, you know, kind of marriage of convenience thing. And Peter, I'm really going to try and get Jack on sometime. And if I do, I'd love for you to join us in that conversation. I think coming from both your angles could be really, really quite cool.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. It would be very, very interesting. It would. You know, me coming from, I'm in church every Sunday as a Christian background, and he with a Muslim background, it's bound to be dynamite. This ought to be great.
And he's also not only that, he's an astrologer, and from what I know, a fascinating human being. Happens to be somewhat close friends with a couple of associates of mine. So I'm going to see what I can do about arranging something with that. I don't know if it'll be Fourth Estate next week or something during my new little romp, but that could end up being a little late for everyone involved. So we'll see what happens. And so, Bruce, what's going on over at your place, mate?
Well, I've been banished to the outdoors, and you know, when you have a sleepover, you know, for a birthday party, and you know, you're the only guy, you just get up and deal with the abuse, and it's okay. I'm all right with it. This is the ninth for my youngest daughter, and so you know, we sort of do a birthday weekend thing with our kids, and when it's time, you know, so when they have a birthday that weekend, whatever's closest to their birthday is their weekend to have whatever they, you know, it's to what, you know, they are the star of the weekend. So whether it's movies, they get to pick their dinner and their cake and whatever they want, they have it. So we, you know, it's just a really wonderful celebratory time. We really try to make them, you know, feel like they're the most important people. So
sounds like great fun.
That sounding like family values to me.
Well, yeah, we don't have those. We're liberals, right? We're godless, and we don't have family values.
Yeah.
So what do we call that then?
We call that, you know, I'm sure they would figure out something, some sort of way to look at what we're doing.
Well, you know, they won't grow up right, Bruce, unless you're an emotional terrorist.
That's right.
You need to lay it down, buddy.
Yeah, we need to make them feel guilty. Another birthday? Oh, my God, not again. What kind of little...
How dare you grow up?
How dare you grow up? Just stay right there. How'd you get out of the closet? Need to get some stronger duct tape, I guess. I don't know.
Bruce.
But we're having a great time, and I really appreciate you carrying the weight, John. You know, sort of a short notice thing, but I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, you know, it's like these days, you know, I'm sitting there listening, you know, all week while you guys are going 5 days a week, and me and Joe come on and go, hi, then there's us.
Yep. Oh, yeah, bring it up the rear. We got Joe and...
and actually, by the way, I think the plan is, because we've had much discussion in the chat room that people are unhappy that there's nothing happening on... Sundays on the Horn at the moment. So we are looking to launch, starting tomorrow, a bit of a replay stream of some of the best of what has happened this week on the Horn to fill in your quiet Sundays, and also give an opportunity for people who don't catch this show because it's on too late for them, unlike those that are well-trained like Wayne, will catch this show, but an earlier time slot yet to be defined. The logistics are still being worked out overnight. But sometime, I think, in the afternoon, the Horn stream will come live.
Oh, that's great news. I had no idea. Of course, you know, nobody ever tells me anything. I'm all in one for me. Nobody ever tells me anything.
Well, we'll probably, I would imagine there will be a post on the front page of the Horn website probably late overnight. So check it in the morning or when you get back from church.
Cool.
Peter.
Yeah, I'll
because
be
we
out.
Know that you're godless. We know that the church you go to probably is a bunch of godless heathens, but do
well,
check when you get back from church in the morning.
Well, absolutely. I'm sure I'll make it home a little bit upset. I usually do. I mean, it's hard to go to church down south without coming home a little bit upset.
Is the politics really that bad still in the actual sermons?
Not so much politics, but just statements that I can't abide with. There's a recurring theme of the Bible being absolute fact, and you know every word is true and authored by you know God Himself. He moved the pen, et cetera, and there are no errors or translation errors, et cetera, but this is never in our church directed toward any particular topic. It's not trying to prove any political point. It's just that same theme that keeps recurring, and you just want to stand up and start quoting out the 5,000 discrepancies that, you know, you know, they're just a lot of old time religion baggage. A lot of it, and so you know you get a little bit distressed. But no, it's not overtly
right.
Republican or overtly political in any particular direction. But it would be if I wasn't there. You know, at least I like to think that. I like to think going there and you know the preacher knows that I you know to talk with you folks. In fact, I you know one of the interviews I did on one of Bruce's very early All Things Reconsidered shows I downloaded and burned to a CD, and I handed it to the preacher one Sunday. And I said, "Look, I think that you just need to know what your congregation's up to." I mean, this is he had just started with the church. He'd only been with us, oh, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks. But I let him know out of the box that I was raving liberal.
Well, you know, Peter, I really do believe, and actually, you know, Bob had a guy on this week who wrote a book called Jesus Was a Liberal, right?
Yes, he did. It was great.
And, you know, and I'm of the firm belief that those principles that are contained in the New Testament that Jesus espoused are absolutely based in liberal idea, progressive thought, you know, just because of the manner of which, the way they're presented and the manner And the underlying principles, if you will.
I completely agree, and the phrase that I've heard that described is radical inclusion. That Christ was about radical inclusion. And I've always embraced that. I like that phrase.
I like that idea too.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But there's this whole thing about being washed in the blood that I can't quite get with. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you have to wonder how much of that is literal. You know. Some of it is just too much to bear unless you try to take it to some sort of level of being symbolic, but but
all right, boys, hold that thought right there. I'm just pulling the plug momentarily. We got to take a real quick break, and we will be right back. We got Bruce Birch checking in on the phone, and we have Peter on the line from Tallahassee. Stick around. We'll be right back on Fourth Estate Radio on the Head On Radio Network.
Across the night, was the moon that stole my slumber. Across the night, I fell in love with people sleeping.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Another day is over, another light is breaking, and I'm tired, but I'm wild about you, my little one. I feel you in the water, I feel you in the corner of my cell, babe. Who else, babe, knows you like I do? As we go again round the stars, loving me.
Now is the time to join together to protect our world, or we could lose all it gives us. To learn how you can help, call for your free World Wildlife Fund Action Kit at 1-800-CALLWWF. Together, we can be a force for nature.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
In the markets, I've seen you in the streets and at your political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? May Jesus would bomb the Syrians, cause they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb
the... Radio here on the Head On Radio Network. My name is Bruce Birch, and my pal John Fox has been covering the show this evening, and I think we also still have Peter on the line. Peter, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. I'm still here. I was thinking over the break. Are we there?
Yeah, we're there, but I was thinking. That's what I was doing.
It was something.
I hear everybody.
Right. The thing about the religion industry, and whether it be the Muslim control freaks or the Christian control freaks or the Chinese, this whole thing about being conservative has a lot to do with just crossing the line. The whole thing is that there is no acknowledgement on their part about what is personal and private and sacred in anyone's life. The Christians want to jump into the Muslims' relationships with their God, but that's intimate. That's private. That is nobody's damn business but the person who is a Muslim. And it's the same with Christians. They want to jump in and tell you how to, what's your relationship with God be. How dare you do that? How dare you cross that personal line? That relationship is mine, thank you very much. It's personal.
Well, yeah.
It's private.
Peter, now, isn't that actually, it's been a long time, okay, since I looked at any of this. But did not Jesus himself say that he had no real use for the organized church and that it was exactly that? One's relationship with God was personal?
Well, yes, it's personal. If it's not personal, it's completely freaking useless. And, yes, there was lots of discussion about that, the Pharisees. But if it's not personal, it's just something, another external thing you deal with. It's not of your heart. It's like your relationship with your children or your wife, your God. It's all personal. And these bastards insist on daily crossing that line. And then you've got the Rush Limbaugh getting in the air talking about how we want to tell them how to think and we want to take their guns and we want to, you know, raise their children in communes and God knows what else. You know, constantly crossing the line. And all we're saying is, hey, some things are private. Leave us the hell alone. Just never ceases to amaze.
Tell us how you really feel, Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous to keep me on the line too long because I will start thinking. It's scary. Yeah, that's really the way I feel. You know, I'm looking forward to talking with the fellow that John mentioned. If I'm able to get involved in that'll be interesting because you know I have no interest in his intimate relationship with his God or his children or his wife. But there are many things that we have in common to talk about. How cool is that? Yeah.
Absolutely. Bruce, you had something that you wanted to throw in because we're getting towards the end of things.
Yeah, I just wanted to... There's a story about Iran that... remember you and I reported about... Gosh, has it been... It's been probably 4 months ago.
It even started 6 months ago. It was two pieces ago by our good friend, the name runs away.
Robert Fisk? Or... No.
Seymour Hersh, thank you.
Yes. Well, you know, the story is that, we reported about 4 months ago anyway that there was overtures from Tehran to try to meet with the president or meet with, at least meet with us, with ambassadors, et cetera, diplomats. To try to avert the situation that we're in presently with Iran's, nuclear situation. You know, we've reported, number one, that they really didn't have the kinds of material there to be a serious threat, that it would take 4 to 5 years, and that was eventually corroborated by Hans Blix and David Kay, both who, were experts in the area of nuclear proliferation. And we also had, a story on, and I'm trying to remember where it came from, but I'm sure we can find it eventually, that Iran had made overtures to the U.S. to say, we want to talk with you about this before it gets out of, on back channels and
yeah.
Try to figure out so it doesn't get into a huge mess.
They said, the United States has concerns about the proliferation and all this stuff about with their programs,
and we
also about them supposedly backing terrorists in Iraq, and Iran said, okay, well, let's come to the table, let's work through this because we want to be above board, and the Bush administration gave them the stiff arm, talk to the old hand.
Well, let me just read you a couple of paragraphs from an article that's out of the American Prospect that I just picked up this evening, and this is the June 2006 edition of this, so this is even a little bit old by itself. Let me just read you this. The September 11th attacks created an entirely new strategic context for engagement with Iran. The evening of 9/11, Flint Leverett, a career CIA analyst who was then at the State Department as a counterterrorism expert, and a small group of officials met with Colin Powell. It was the beginning of work on a diplomatic strategy in support of the U.S. effort to destroy the Taliban regime in Afghanistan and the Al-Qaeda network at Harvard. The main aim was to gain the cooperation of states that were considered sponsors of terrorism. All right. Within weeks, Iran, Syria, Libya, and Sudan all approached the United States through various channels to offer their help in the fight against Al-Qaeda. Leverett says, quote,
The Iranians said we didn't like Al-Qaeda any better than you, and we have assets in Afghanistan that could be useful, end quote. It was the beginning of a period of extraordinary strategic cooperation between Iran and the United States. As America began preparing for the military operation in Afghanistan, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs Ryan Crocker held a series of secret meetings with Iranian officials in Geneva. In those meetings, Iran offered search and rescue help, humanitarian assistance, and even advice on which targets to bomb in Afghanistan. The Iranians, who had been working for years with the main anti-Taliban coalition, the Northern Alliance, also advised the Americans about how to negotiate the major ethnic and political fault lines in the country. But let me just, before we talk about that, let me just also mention this. The president turned right around after they offered this help. You still with me, John?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm listening.
I didn't hear anything, but while the Iranians had turned around and offered this help, here's what the president turned around and did. He made sure that the axis of evil, remember that line?
Oh, yeah.
Was included in the speech following 9/11, and this was actually even opposed by NSA, by the National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice, Stephen Hadley, and Colin Powell. But the president demanded that it go forward. The president demanded that this language be included and also demanded that a policy of regime change continue forward despite Iran offering help, in the war on terror, so-called war on terror, despite Iran coming to us later in 2003 and saying we want to talk to you about, in other words, Iran has done everything within their power besides, flying over here and demanding, dinner at Denny's
I just think that it's like the administration has their fingers in their ears like the hear no evil monkey and going blah, 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 blah.
That, too, sounds just like Karl Rove. It sounds just like Karl Rove because by including the phrase evil and axis of evil, if you tie that into the biblical stuff about the prince of Persia, which was the evil angel or the evil spiritual being that impeded, who was it, the other archangel, Gabriel? Lord, I've forgotten. I'd have to look that back up again. But the whole thing, it's just to appeal to that base, the far right wing religious base. And so let's sacrifice everything that has to do with national security and cooperation with other countries just to get a few more votes or the support from the religious right.
Well, this whole blustery, God, these people are crusaders. They are crusaders. It's like the old time, like the crusade all over again. Well, it is.
Well, it definitely feels like what they're setting up. And Peter, I'm gonna have to bring you to the end of this call this time here around because we're running up onto our last segment. And thank you so much. And we will set up this thing. I want to talk about this other subject a little bit further. And you rock, man.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. And listen, if there's anybody in China that's able to hear this program this program is able to successfully avoid the illegitimate and evil Cisco routers, which are blocking this sort of thing, you just email the head on studio and they'll forward it to me. I'll send you all the disco you can hold, honey.
We love it, Peter. We'll talk to you very, very soon, mate. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. Bye.
See you, Peter.
All right. So Bruce and I will be back to close up the show. And when we come back, you will hear the intro to my new show that we're going to run next week. It'll still be Fourth Estate Radio, but you'll be right back with me and Bruce to wrap it up right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
On the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I wanted to, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Hey, yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366. Banging hippie, John Fox.
Welcome back to Fourth Estate Radio, everybody. Bruce Birch, I think, is still on the phone, and that's just a taste of what I'll be throwing at you starting next week for a little bit of late night. What do you think of that, Bruce?
Oh, what a day in this hell. Okay. That's great. Very nice, John. Very well done. Very well done. I'm looking
forward
to it. That'll be, you know, it'll be great to unwind the evening with the headbanging hippie. I love it.
Oh, I don't think Bob knew what he was getting into when I sent him that script, and then he sends me back the audio and just give me a reverb plug-in, and I'm off. So it's going to be an interesting week next week. So what are we up to? We're going to be up to, what, 10 hours of uninterrupted, fresh content?
Let's see, yeah, 3 to 10, 3 to 1 a.m., that would be 10 hours, yeah, sure would be. I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. I think Mark, well, you know what, no, we don't want to talk about that yet. Yeah, there's going to be some more changes soon, too, from what I hear.
Yeah. We got a couple of other little pots on the moving from the back burner to the actual front burner. But, yeah, stay tuned for that, and we will keep you well posted. And you got anything already on tap for this week on your show, Bruce?
I have some, you know, always try to grab an interview for every afternoon in the 5:30 to 6 o'clock hour of my show. But, you know, I as of right now, I've got a few irons in the fire, so to speak, and time will tell. Don't have anything confirmed just yet, but usually, I'm not having any problem getting good interviews, getting good people, but I'm going to work on some things with bringing people on who are of progressive mindsets. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and you handle yourself well when you end up with a bit of a something that you didn't quite expect pop up, but we won't get. Yes, Agnes, our producer, just chimed in the chat. I won't repeat it on air because it's one of those dirty words, but, well, maybe not. But anyway, we'll just move on. We'll look very much forward to all that, Bruce. And, you know, the festivities will take off every day at 3 Eastern time with Guy James, then 5 starts with the Bruce Birch radio program, then 7 to 10 is the one, the only Bob Kincaid with your daily dose of the truth, and then flow into me, and I'm hoping for the late night calls, man. I'm just really, really hoping for those tired, not necessarily totally holding their tongue, but not getting us in trouble or anything.
Right.
The kind of callers that want to let loose.
Yeah, well, you know, we're having such a good time. You know, I got to tell you, though, John, that I was, it was really good to sort of get a good dose of your show tonight and to sort of hear a bit of a preview, because I'm just really looking forward to this. This will be a fun time. This will be a fun time for us. We're creating community here at Head On, and that's what it's all about, is bringing new voices to the fore. And giving people an opportunity to get on and talk what they really, you know, say what they really want to say. I mean, instead of being talked to, we want to have a conversation, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing how we just continue to move forward at a very organic rate, which gives me some comfort, really. Even through some of our, you know, past, you know, technical issues and thunderstorms and things that sometimes outside of our control, have just stayed loyal and stay in that chat room and root for us. And, you know, I think we actually kind of have the machine, you know, kind of rocking and rolling now. And,
like clockwork, there's no doubt. The other thing, too, is I just want to, before we do too much more, I just want to mention our unsung hero of our production, John. You want to? I really, Agnes, who produces our shows, she produces my show and this show, and I assume we'll probably be doing John's show and then Bob's and also Cup of Joe and on the weekends. I mean, she really just, I mean,
the work this woman does is beyond professional, and so I just wanted to, before we do anything else, just sort of do a, I wish I had a little button where I could press a round of applause, but you'll just have to hear that. but she does a fantastic, so thank you so much, Agnes, for everything that you do. I just, you rock, and without you, you are the glue. There's no doubt that you are the glue that's holding all this together.
No kidding, man. It's, you know, I mean, it's a big ask what's thrown on her shoulders every day. And not only that, everybody send just all your positive energy to Bob's father at the moment. I think you could just use it, and that's all I'm going to say there. And that just makes what Agnes and Bob pull off even more just Herculean. It's just amazing. But, you know, we got people that believe in what we're doing, because I think, you know, if no one else is going to put it out there, man, we got to do it. And we found a means, and we continue to find the means to put this out. And, you know, we get every listener one at a time, man. And it's just, you know, this has been one of the most enjoyable rides I've had so far. And I can't wait to see how, you know, where we are in, you know, 2 years.
It'll be fun. I mean, you know, it's just we've come so far in like 4 months. It's amazing to me. So, who knows what the future holds?
All right, mate, we got to get out of here. We got about, I don't know, about a minute and a half left. So, you know, go over and throw some money at Ben Birch. Well, not at him, but you know, use the links and do the thing. Over at the White Rose Society, he's having his fundraiser. Who else we got to thank, Bruce?
Well, we just did Agnes, we just thanked Agnes. So that's then. Yeah, that's, you know, who announced the show tonight? Gail?
That would be Gail. God, you know.